Happy New Year. Amen. How many feel God today? I hope you do. We're honored to have you here. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for watching online. We have people watching in Bloomington, around the area, state, region, around our nation, and around the world. And we're honored to have our online campus. Come on, greet them, please, if you would. Thank you so much for watching. You may be seated today. And I hope that the holidays were good for you. And yet I know by the number of people in the room and those watching that for some it wasn't the best of times. And so no matter where we find ourselves today in the first Sunday of 2020, I pray that you have hope today, because I believe that with God, nothing is impossible. And that I hope that you believe that God has something good for your life, and that something good is going to happen to you. I believe that because of what Jesus did and what the Bible says. And we're honored, my wife and I are honored to have you here today as we begin 2020. And we are in the first day of our 21 days of prayer and fasting. Thank you for one come on over there. I'll give you your money after the worship experience. Not too much applause on that. But I believe that God moves when we pray and when we fast. Amen. God moves when we pray and when we fast. And so I'm really excited about this series because in preparation for this year, I felt that this month of January would be really important. You know, some of the messages this month will lay out key doctrines that we have as a church. And I want to preach on the series entitled Emmanuel. Now, when we think of Emmanuel, we think of Christmas because the prophet prophesied that he would be called Emmanuel, God is with us. And so we think about Christ being born, and rightfully so, and we do. We had a great Christmas here at City this year, the best we've ever had. But I want to challenge that thought that it doesn't stop at Christmas, but that he's still Emmanuel, he's still God with us, and that he is here right now in this room, he's in our lives. And I want to unpackage that this month and really fortify that doctrinal truth that we have. And so I want to preach a message this week, the first weekend of the year, entitled Still Here. If you don't mind, say that. Say, still here. Amen. So, Father, I thank you so much for this great worship experience. I thank you for keeping us safe in this room, and as we leave today, keep us safe all year. I pray that everyone in this room and online would willingly lay down any resistance we may have. I pray that we would set aside any and all distractions, and that we would freely receive from you today. Jesus, our hearts are yours. I pray, Lord, that all of us would take something from this and take at least one step forward in our faith, no matter where we're at in the journey of faith. And I thank you for your Holy Spirit that's here. And I pray that you would just touch all of us, take over. We are yours. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. I want to say it's great to have some friends of mine from Indonesia, Pastor Riza and Pastor Stephanie. Come on, give them a hand from Christ Cathedral Church. We love you. So glad you're here. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Hebrews 13, if you don't mind. Hebrews 13. I'm going to read one verse. It's a simple verse, but really it's a profound verse. Before I read it, you can follow me on the screen or read it in your Bible, your phone. Hebrews is one of my favorite books in the Bible. I want to encourage you to read it at some point this year. I love particularly a few chapters out of Hebrews, and this is one of them. This is the last chapter of the letter of Hebrews. And it's really packed full with a lot of, if you will, ending thoughts, or the thoughts at the end of this letter. And he's really fortifying the people in Hebrews to keep the faith, to keep moving forward in Jesus, to see who Jesus is, as he talks about throughout the whole letter. And to fortify that, he talks about not being carried away by wrong teaching, wrong beliefs. And one of the key verses he says is this one right here. And he says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. I believe that. How about you? And so my first thought, I have two main thoughts today. Then I'm going to give you a couple practicality steps to take. My first thought is simply Jesus. This is profound that Jesus was declared at this point, after he was raised from the dead, after he ascended from the Mount of Olives back into heaven, as the Bible teaches us, that this man of God said that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what does that mean? And for us at City Church, in the core belief of we, as we have in the Bible, is that Jesus is the same person and he does the same things today as he did when he walked the earth. That means there is no variation of his character. Remember this, our character a lot of times is revealed in what we do. So when we try to impose our thoughts on God's character to say that his character has changed or that he doesn't do such and such anymore, we're really accusing his character of changing. But the Bible says that I am the Lord your God and I change not. That means that Jesus, when he was walking the earth, he did so many miracles that one of his disciples said that all the books in the world couldn't have contained all the miracles that he did. That's a bold statement. That's what we read in the Gospel of John. So Jesus did many things, and yet the Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, meaning that he's doing those things today. In other words, that Jesus is changing lives. He's healing lives. He's delivering lives. He anoints people. He empowers people. He does the miraculous. Jesus moves today. Now, for some of us, maybe, come on, PD, I've heard this before. Others, maybe, I've never heard this before. Maybe some of you are in the middle. But this statement, even though it's maybe simplistic, really is profound and deep because this triggers what I call expectation, the expectation that we have in God. Did you know, for your notes, if you want to take notes in the back of your worship guide, did you know that expectation determines what we receive? And so if you and I don't pay attention to this, our expectation can wane really easy when it comes to God, especially as we get older in life. My kids on Christmas Day, man, they woke up at 5 a.m. And I was so ticked off. I just had to have Jesus help me. And Summer was up at 3 o'clock. And I said, can we all just go back to bed and wait till the sun comes up? But no, we got to open up gifts now. So and they're just bursting with joy. They're bursting at the seams. This is the first Christmas we have our dog with us. So we're just all, they are all going crazy. So we get in this, our living room around the tree, getting ready to open up gifts, and our dog decides to begin to poop right by the gifts, right before we open up the gifts. And Summer says, I'm so upset. I said, if we would all be in bed right now, this wouldn't have been happening. Their expectation was so high. Then they got their gifts, and man, they were just beaming. They were excited. They were wearing their clothes. They were doing this and that. They were just going crazy all day long. Man, Davin got a gift from one of his aunties, and he about cried. Man, I could see it. He was just like, ah, you know. But as we get older in life, as we become adults, have you noticed our expectation gets harder to please? We're not as impressed anymore. We're not as excited anymore. I've seen this before, or I've heard this before, or I've seen it all, you know. And we're not moved with that childlike expectation. But really, you and I, when it comes to Jesus, even though we get older in years, we can and should have a childlike expectation that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that he can do abundantly more, the Bible says, than we ask or think. And so I want to ask you, where's your expectation today? Now, I was raised in church. I've been around this a while, and I've seen over time seasoned, what I would call seasoned Christ followers, new Christ followers, even people that don't believe in Jesus, maybe some in the middle, lose their expectation slowly, particularly because of disappointment. Life smacks all of us in the face, doesn't it? Punches us in the heart. We believe and we pray for something, it didn't work out the way we thought. We take a step of faith, put ourselves on the line, and we get shut down. We want to recoil and say, I don't want to do that again. I'm afraid. Slowly what begins to happen is disappointment erodes expectation. We don't say it out loud, or maybe we do. Probably most don't. But really, we kind of say things like this. Well, God moves in Africa with Pastor Kim. God will move in Indonesia. He'll move in Asia. He'll move in South America. I don't know about here. Just, thank God. He'll move for that person over there, but man, I've already tried it. Really what we're saying is he's not going to do it for me. Disappointment slowly erodes the expectation, so our excitement is not there. We're not really, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God, I guess. Yeah, you know. It's not a living expectation of God can move today. So you and I, there's hurdles that we have to climb over to really protect our expectation. And probably the biggest one for my life and maybe for yours is disappointment. What happens when we don't understand? What happens when things don't work out? What happens when we pray and it seemingly didn't happen the way we thought? How do we handle disappointment? How about this? Here's another hurdle. Holding on to grudges. Not forgiving people. Allowing bitterness to just seep into our life and wonder why it worked out for them and not for us. Here's a big one. Not demanding our way. And these are hurdles and many more that we could have to not making our expectation tender to believe that God can move today. Because when you and I process this verse, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we take a personal step of faith and we make it personal to us, it sounds easy and maybe quick, but really it's profound. Because when you and I take that step and we personalize that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then what we say, he can change my life. He can change my family. He can heal my life. He can deliver me. He can anoint me. He can empower me. He can do the miraculous through me. He can move in my life today. When we personalize this, our faith can connect to it that this is not, he's not a God of history only, and he's not a God of the future only. He's the God of right now. He's the God of both, but he's right here, January 5th, 2020. He's alive and well. He's breathing and living. Jesus is still here. Come on, somebody. And he's the same. And so you and I have the tall task. We have the tall task as growing adults. You teenagers in the movement, as growing adults, we have the tall task that we navigate disappointment correctly. That we let people go. We don't hold on to grudges. We don't hold on to unforgiveness. We don't become bitter. We don't demand our way. We let it just kind of just flow through us because it's going to come. But we let it flow through us so that our expectation can be like a child. Like, man, God can move today. I've heard so many people say, well, I've seen it all and heard it all and know it all. That's the dumbest statement you could ever say as a person. No, you haven't. And if you have, that's sad. Because a wise person learns something new every day. So you and I have to protect that. Because it can slowly ebb into our belief system and we can sing about God, but really not believe that we can experience God. But how is Jesus still here? As I mentioned earlier, the Bible tells us on the Mount of Olives, Jesus was raised from the dead and he walked the earth for 40 days. On the 40th day, he stood on the Mount of Olives. I've been to that mountain. And the Bible says that he was with the disciples and he gave them final commands. Lasting, you know, his last words, if you will, as he was face to face. And the Bible says that he ascended off the mountain back to his Father. Can you imagine seeing that? Dude, this is awesome. And they were so dumbfounded, they were gazing. And the Bible says that he sent angels, and the angels said, why do you stand here staring? In other words, you get about, you're moving. He's coming back in the same way you saw him leave. So how is Jesus still here when he's in heaven at the right hand of God? Here's my second point. He's here through the Holy Spirit. This is very important for our church. Please hear me online in this room. The Holy Spirit is not a watered down version of God. The Holy Spirit is not, and this is important. This is important to me. The Holy Spirit is not an energy. The Holy Spirit is not a force. He's not a Jedi. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's a part of the triune Godhead. And he is just as much God as Jesus is God, or that God is God. He is God. And he's in the earth. He's Jesus' spirit. He's the Spirit of God. And he's in the earth. He's all over the world. And when you and I, think about this, check this out. The Bible says, when you and I call on the name of the Lord, when you and I say, Jesus, save me. If you haven't done that, do it today. If you've done it and you're far from God, do it today and come back to God in this room or online. But when you and I say, Jesus, save me, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God lives in your physical body. You are the temple, or you are the house. For layman's terms, we are the house that God lives in. Think about that. That's profound, because we know our weakness. Come on now. We know our temptation. We know our struggles. We know our shortfalls. We know where we want to go. We know what we want to do. We know where we would be. We know what we would be. We know a lot of things about ourselves. But when you and I receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in an imperfect person because of the grace of God. And everywhere we go, the Holy Spirit is with us. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, listen to this verse, please. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Notice that when the Holy Spirit comes on you and I, the Bible says that you and I have power. Everyone say power.
Power.
You and I are promised power. Again, expectation. God wants to move in our life through power. He's not just a milquetoast God. He's not just a far off God. When you and I receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in us. Now, please hear me. It's hard for you and I to understand the gravity of this, because we live in this world now. And so we get caught up in paying our bills. We get caught up in getting an education and having a better career, or having the career of our dreams and making a lot of money and having our goals. Nothing wrong with any of that. We want to be married. We want to have kids. All those things are good. And God loves all those details. He is the God of every detail of our life. But what happens is we can get so wrapped up in all those details that we have this distance of belief and understanding that the Holy Spirit lives in me. And so what we do physically for God can become mundane, but really it's not mundane. It's really profound. For example, when you got up and came to church, whether you were dragged to church, whether you were tricked to come to church, whether you came to church to get your girl, look straight ahead. Whether you came for whatever reason, when you and I come to church, whether we feel it or not, it is profound. We are here. And when we come to church, it's the Holy Spirit reaching through us, reaching up to the Father in heaven, connecting us to a supernatural God that's above it all. When we give, check this out, when I climb over the hurdle and I give tithes and offerings, come on now, it's not just giving the church money. No, I'm giving to God what he asked for. And it may seem mundane. I may be ticked off I'm doing it, but it's supernatural. And it's the Holy Spirit reaching through me, and I'm reaching up to God. When we praise and worship, the reason why the music is so loud here, because half of us can't sing good. So we have it so loud that we can't hear you sing off key. But we do it because the Bible says, make a joyful noise. And the Bible says, lift up holy hands. And the Bible says, clap your hands. And the Bible says, to dance before the Lord. So we do that because when we do this, it's not just, well, they're just an excited group. They're just a crazy group. They're just really kinetic. No. It's the Holy Spirit reaching through me. When I clap my hands, it's the Holy Spirit. When I raise my hands, it's the Holy Spirit. When I sing out loud, it's the Holy Spirit. Whenever I do, whatever I do for God, it may seem mundane, but it's the Holy Spirit living in my body, reaching through me for God. And I have God in me because he's still here. Man, I love that. He's still here. He gives us power to be a witness. Just for a verse for your reference, John 14, verses 15 through 18 is a great set of verses about the Holy Spirit living in you and me. When you and I receive Jesus, we have grace. We have daily mercy. We have his loving kindness. We have God's patience. We have the Holy Spirit. I don't want to belabor this, but I want to say this again. Just think about the grace of God. How can we ever be haughty? How can we ever be mean to someone else? How can we ever reject someone that's different than us when the Holy Spirit lives in our jacked up body. He lives in our imperfect life. He knows everything about us, folks. He knows everything, and the Holy Spirit lives in us. It's not a pride thing, it's a humbling thing. It says, man, thank you, Jesus, for the goodness of God. Where would I be if it wasn't for the Lord? The Holy Spirit doesn't have to be weird. It doesn't have to be a mystical thing. And if you think it's weird, maybe someone made it weird. Please hear me. The Holy Spirit is not weird. People are weird. But the Holy Spirit knows where you live. He knows who you are. And he will connect with you and I on a level that you and I understand. So you and I can connect, not to belabor this, but I want to say this again. So Jesus does all these things. And then I mentioned earlier how when we take that step and personalize it, Jesus wants to do these things for me. Well, the Holy Spirit through me wants to change lives. He wants to change families. He wants to heal lives. He wants to deliver people. He wants to anoint people. He wants to empower people. He wants to do the miraculous. God still moves today. He's still here. You and I have to protect the expectation we have of God and protect that God will move today, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, why would God want you to be a witness? What are we supposed to be witnessing? Have you thought about this? The verse I read in Acts, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be witnesses. How am I a witness? What am I witnessing? This could be controversial for the church world, so please hear my whole statement so I'm not misquoted. Knowing what the Bible says is of utmost importance. I want to encourage you to read the Bible every day this year. We have groups set up starting in February to help you learn what the Bible says. Knowing what we believe from Scripture is of utmost importance. We have groups set up to help you know what the Bible says to believe. Being familiar with Scripture is very important. I read the Bible through every year. I want to encourage you, you have to have the Bible in you. It will help you, okay? On your phones, a real, you know, physical, whatever. Just please understand. I don't want to overstate it, but understand it's important. But knowing the Scripture is not how we are the greatest witness. Alone. Just being able to tell someone, well, I'm a scholar of the Bible, doesn't mean I'm an effective witness for Jesus. Being the greatest witness, this may sound like a weird analogy, but the greatest witness of maybe a crime or of a great moment or of something like that is someone that saw it firsthand. It's an eyewitness. They can say, no, I saw that person. I saw that person do whatever. No, I saw what happened. And they can solve a mystery. They can maybe help celebrate a magnificent moment. The greatest way we become a witness is when we let the Holy Spirit change our lives from the inside out. The greatest way that we're a witness is by remembering what God has done. And we let the Holy Spirit do something on the inside of us. While our intellect needs to be expanded and we grow in natural knowledge of the Bible and of God, absolutely. The greatest thing we can tell someone is not arguing with them about, you know, theology or what we believe. The greatest thing is going up to someone and saying, man, if you would have seen me when I was without Jesus, if you could see me when I was messed up, then we take it to the next step and we say, here's what I was like. Boom, 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 boom. And you think, if I didn't have God, I would be here, I would be there, but I'm standing in front of you, not because I'm better than you, but because the Holy Spirit touched me. A diet couldn't do it. Good teaching couldn't do it. Willpower couldn't do it. The right family connection couldn't do it. Money couldn't do it. Sex couldn't do it. Drugs couldn't do it. Weed couldn't do it. Heroin couldn't do it. It was only the touch of the Almighty God through the Holy Spirit that changed my life and turned me around. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. That's the greatest witness. That's how we show that this God is great and greatly to be praised. He is the God of heaven. He's the God of the earth. He's the God of my heart, and he's God because he changed my life. Come on, give him a great New Year's praise. I believe in this God. Man, that's how we're a witness. That's how we witness Jesus. So let him touch you today. Come on, people, lay down your resistance if you have any. If you have any pride, lay it down. Any religion, lay it down. Any hate, lay it down. Any anger, lay it down. Come on. Any disappointment, lay it down. Any knowledge that's causing you to think you're better than someone else, come on, give it up. Lay it down and say, Jesus, I give it all at your feet. I need your Holy Spirit. I need the Spirit of the living God to touch my broken life. I need a living God in heaven to come to my house, to come into my room, to come into my bathroom, to meet me in the cubicle, to meet me in the classroom. I need a living God somewhere. Oh, God of heaven, come down and make me a witness. Make me a witness. I'm sorry I'm shouting. I've had 5 cups of coffee, man. I'm starting to sweat. But I'm getting a workout for Jesus. He's still here. So I'm almost done. I want to leave you. What are practical steps you and I can take today? It's so important that we at City Church remember that I want to do my best for you. You know, this is, we're not here. Why do we have staff here that works out every detail of every worship experience before you get here? Why do I preach on Wednesday to the staff so I can do my best on Sunday? Why do we go as far as we can, as much as we can, to reach every person as possible? Because this is not just about coming to and just performing. This is, we want the Holy Spirit to come in this room. I'm not performing for you. I'm so honored you're here, man. I'm blown away by it. But man, if you could see me where I was, this is a miracle I'm even up here. Half the people that went to high school with me that come to this church, they can believe in God just by seeing me. Because like, Lord, if you guys, I believe in God. Jesus is real. I saw some other day, he may be here today, and he came. I said, man, so good to see you. And I said, dude, there's hope for you. Because you know what you and I used to do. He said, don't even tell me. I said, get out of here. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is so good. But I'm not here. I'm here to let the Holy Spirit come through me and all of us. We're here to do our best for him. So that's why at City Church, everyone's welcome. Nobody's perfect. Anything's possible. And the Holy Spirit is such a key part of what we do. So what are practical steps? Because this can be ambiguous. What are 2 practical steps? Here's the first step. What if you and I would write this prayer down and pray it every day? Holy Spirit, please let me be a witness of what you can do in me. Let me just take it a step further to make it even simpler, more practical. That's basically saying, Jesus, I give you me. Holy Spirit, do in my life what I can't do. Do in me what I can't do for myself. Just follow me, if you don't mind, out loud, you in this room and online. Just say this with me. Please say, Holy Spirit, please let me be a witness of what you can do. What if we would pray that prayer? And just give ourselves to God and say, God, I lay it down. I give you me. Do something in my life, because life's more than paying bills and getting an education and having a lot of money and living the American dream. Life's more than that. It's eternal. It's full of purpose and grace and mercy and power. It's full of God if you and I will allow it. And all the things that I mentioned along the way, God wants to bless. But it's letting God have us first. That's the greatest thing we could ever do. And there's so many hurdles of, as I've already mentioned, just to say it again, disappointment. The hurdle of holding on to grudges and unforgiveness and bitterness and demanding our way. Man, what if you and I would not play any passive-aggressive games with God? In other words, you wouldn't go to the table of God and say, here's two of my chips, if you will. And I'm going to hold all the rest back. I'm going to see what you can do. If you bless these 2 chips, I'll give you more. If you don't, I'm out. Oh, well, he didn't do it the way I wanted, so I quit. No. You can't do that. You got to take all your chips and shove them all on the table. Because Jesus, he took all his chips and he died on the cross. And it wasn't guaranteed that you and I would serve him. You and I have a free will. I believe in a free will. It wasn't guaranteed that we would do. Man, I could have said yes to God. I could say no to God. It was His grace that arrested me in the prayers of faithful people. You and I have to put all the chips on the table and say, man, God, here, I give you a chance. What if everyone in this room on the fence, maybe you're even with church, you're just kind of, I don't know, but and online, what if every one of us would give God 12 months? Don't unplug, don't quit, don't be offended, don't make excuses, no, just stay. For 12 months, give God a chance, all the chips. Where could God take your life in 12 months? I challenge everyone in here right now, in online, to give God 12 months. Give God 12 months, and this year say, Holy Spirit, please let me be a witness of what you can do in my life. Just pray that prayer and then yield it to Him. No passive aggressive games. All the chips. Disappointment. I know, man. Give Him all the chips. Didn't work out for you. Give Him all the chips. Hasn't worked out for you. Give Him all the chips. Take a chance. That's one practical step. To prayer. The second practical step, I would say, is even more practical and finite, and that's to join us in 21 days of prayer and fasting. Every night, starting tonight, I'll be here tonight. I'll be leading the first one at 7 p.m. in the student auditorium. We'll have worship every night. Then we'll have prayer for 1 hour to respect your time every night for 21 days. I want to encourage you, man, to pray and fast with us. Give something to God. On your worship guide, you have all the themes for this week, the daily themes and the verses. It's on the website. You can take advantage of that. We want to help you lead through it, but you don't have to fast food. You fast with everything you fast what you feel. You come to God where you're at. You give God a chance. Even last night, we had our family meeting. I said, guys, what do you want to fast? They said, we want to fast Coke. We want to fast candy. I said, okay, good. Last year, they said, we're going to fast homework. I said, devil, you get behind me fasting homework. You gotta watch these kids, man, they'll get you. Jeez. Even my kids are gonna fast and pray. I wanna encourage you that we don't twist God's arm, we don't manipulate God, we're not here to barter with God. No, we're here just to give something up, to align ourselves. We've had a busy last year, we had a lot of holiday stuff going on, and all this is just to kind of align ourselves. God, we're aligning ourselves with you. You can do something in my life this year. Kind of just jarring ourselves and refocusing what we're doing here. That He's number one. And that God wants to move in our life. And so this message of still here, Jesus is still here through God the Holy Spirit in this room right now, in the lives of men and women that receive Jesus. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. And when you and I take those steps, the practicality of that is, what if you and I would just pray, say, Holy Spirit, please let me be a witness of what you can do. And then you would say, you know what? I'm going to fast and pray for something this year. I said last weekend to write some goals down, write some prayer requests out. Do it. I've noticed that life presents us with situations that we got to be desperate for God. And if you're not there yet, this is not to make you afraid. I never want to use fear as a tactic. That's not good. But I would say that probably life will bring you a circumstance that will force you to be desperate for God. You know, right now in my family, we're desperate for God. I have a little cousin. She's 14 months old. We found out that she has a tumor in her stomach. We're believing God, man. She's got to have a miracle. And so, you know, it brings back different feelings and emotions for my family. For what we've been through, but man, this precious girl is just bright, and I had a chance to pray with her and pray over her at the hospital. But my family, here we are again. It's like today, I'm not up here preaching at you. Like I'm living this. Like here we are again. Like let's come before God. You're not in that situation. I don't pray that for anybody, but for our family, we're in that situation. So Lord, here we are. I'm desperate for you. Prayer and fasting helps us clean my stuff out just to kind of get me focused. Man, I need God. Like, I can't do this without God in my life. And really, none of us can. In closing, I want to encourage you with two different scenarios. The Holy Spirit may, in some of our lives this year, in the stream and online, He may work instantaneously. So there's a young lady in our church. She's in the worship band. She's a business owner, an accomplished young woman who developed a brain tumor about a year and a half ago now, almost 2 years. And it was affecting her mobility, and it was advancing, and it was really scary. And they couldn't operate on it because it would really limit her potentially for the rest of her life, mentally, physically, everything. So operation wasn't in the cards. And so she received prayer from a lot of people. But I know our church prayed for her. We prayed, you know, Pastor Kim prayed for her. We prayed for her. And man, she went back to the doctor, and that tumor was gone. And I want you to hear this. It's amazing. He's still here, right? He's still here. There is like a crater. This is amazing. There's like a crater in her brain where the tumor was, like an indent. And the doctor said around the edges of that growth, it's like it looks like that someone seared it and like sealed it. And I thought, man, the nail-scarred hand of Jesus went through the Holy Spirit, right through her skin, right through her skull, into her brain, and just plucked that thing out and seared around the edges of it. She's totally healed and whole today. Say, if you have a little bit of temptation of Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, I don't know about that. We'll arrange a meeting with you and her, and you can ask her yourself. Or you can go to her ice cream shop and get some ice cream and talk to her there. But God's a God of miracles. And that was an instantaneous miracle that happened for a lady in our church. Now, other times, God doesn't do it instantly. Like, for example, and I ask permission for this, several of our leaders, even pastors on staff, myself, we're all in this process of being healed. I think of Pastor Gayla, who's preached, is a great preacher, preached with me, openly shared with the church her, at times, her struggle. And for her, it's not been instant. I'm sure she's told me she wishes it was instant, but she's dealt with depression and anxiety and struggles in her mind and struggles with habits and just struggles just in her life. And she wishes it could be totally broken in a moment, but it's not. And so it's been steady, step by step, sometimes good days, sometimes bad days. But just like with the young lady who was healed of the brain tumor, even with Gayla, she can look and say, man, God's been on me. His Holy Spirit's been with me, and I can be a witness of his power. Even if it's day to day, and even if it's good and bad days, the Holy Spirit's been there with her, and he's leading her to victory. And I don't understand why some people get it in a moment and why some people takes time. But hear me. Either way, the Holy Spirit is moving, and he's still here. And with God, nothing is impossible. So come on, reach up to God. Stand to your feet, please, and reach up to God. And whether it's instant or whether it's over time, you're just going to give your heart to God. You're not going to unplug. You're not going to pull back. You're not going to quit. You're not going to let disappointment rob you. You're not going to let grudges stop you. You're not going to let bitterness overwhelm you. You're not going to let those things hurt you. You're going to overcome those hurdles. You're going to say, God, I give you all my chips. I put them all on the table. Holy Spirit, please let me be a witness of what you can do in my life. Come on, right now, as you're standing, whatever you need, give it to God. Your marriage, your mind, your body, your heart, your soul, give it to him right now. He knows who you are. He knows what you need. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And he can do anything for anyone, anytime, anywhere. Father, we need you today. Holy Spirit of God, we need you. We never want this to be a performance here. We never want this to be a show. We need your Holy Spirit from the parking lot all the way to the stage. Holy Spirit, we need you in our lives today. We need you to move in us. We need you, Jesus, in our thoughts, in our bodies. We need you in our family. We need you in our life. Help us believe that you're still here. And as we pray and fast, Lord, I pray that you would answer every prayer petitioned to you. Do even the things that we haven't even thought of asking. I pray that you would move and you would supernaturally bless us, so that we could be a witness that you can do what we can't do. I pray for Ruby. Lord, my family. I pray this thing leave her body in Jesus' name. I command it shrink and dissolve and leave her little body in the name of Jesus. I curse it now. I curse every disease in this room. I curse every sickness in this room. I curse every strident attack in this room. I command it to come off of God's people. Peace of mind at home right now, you watching. Peace in your mind and strength in your soul. The peace of God to heal us and to keep us. God, we're here when we're powerless. You have all power. When we can't, you can. And so, Lord, we say, please let us be a witness of what you can do this year. We give you our lives in Jesus' name. Come on, one more time, if you don't mind, give him a great clap of praise today. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. If you don't mind, bow your heart, bow your head to heaven. I hope this has blessed you today. I want to honor your time. Please bow your heart and bow your head, you online, and you would say, Pastor Dave, I've never received Jesus in my life. I've never called on Jesus in my life, and I need to do it today. Others of you would say, I have called on Jesus in my life before, but right now in my soul, I know I'm far from God. If one of those positions rings out, that's you're in that position, come on, receive Jesus today. And if you would say, PD, one of those is me, and I want Christ. Right now, as hearts are bowed and heads are bowed, raise your hand to heaven. I want to pray for you right now in this room. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, so many people coming to Jesus today. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Come on, give him a big hand. People coming to God today. Eternal life. The Holy Spirit is getting ready to come live in them by the promise of the Scripture. Thank you for lowering your hands. I see them all. How many would say, Pastor Dave, I'm facing a situation. There's something I'm facing personally, maybe like me and my family. I'm facing something. Or I just want more of God. I need the Holy Spirit to do what I can't do. I want to be a witness. I want to pray for you all over this room and all over those watching on live stream. Thank you so much, almost everyone. Thank you. Follow me in this prayer and say, Lord Jesus, I'm yours. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong. Forgive me, and I turn away from it. I quit doing it. I say no to it. I say yes to you. Through the Holy Spirit, I am your child, and I ask you to do in me what I can't do for myself. Help me be a witness more than ever before of what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Praise God. And I feel his presence here with us. Pray peace over you today. Pray the power of God on you today. I pray this would be the best year of your life. That whatever you and I are facing, that the Holy Spirit would help us be a witness of what he can do.